Thank you. Dear people of God, in the season of Advent, it is our responsibility and joy to prepare ourselves to hear once more the message of the angels, to go to Bethlehem and see the Son of God lying in a manger. Let us hear and heed in Holy Scripture the story of God's loving purpose, from the time of our rebellion against him until the glorious redemption brought to us by his holy child, Jesus. And let us look forward to the yearly remembrance of his birth with hymns and songs of praise. But first, let us pray for the needs of his whole world, for peace and justice on earth, for the unity and mission of the church for which he died, and especially for his church in our country and in this city. And because he particularly loves them, let us remember in his name the poor and helpless, the cold, the hungry and the oppressed, the sick and those who mourn, the lonely and unloved, the aged and little children, as well as all those who do not know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, let us remember before God his pure and lowly mother and that whole multitude which no one can number, whose hope was in the Word made flesh, and with whom in Jesus we are one forevermore. The Almighty God bless us with his grace. Christ, give us the joys of everlasting life, and to the fellowship of the citizens above, may the King of Angels bring us all.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Our first reading is from the book of Genesis. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and a man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." She said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pangs in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to the man he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thank you. reading from the Gospel according to Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who has been said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thank you.
A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Today is the beginning of the season of Advent. The church learned a long time ago that people need a way to get ready to come close to a mystery like the incarnation, the mystery we call Christmas. So the church set aside the season of Advent as a time of preparation. During Advent, we are all on the way to Bethlehem, all getting ready to welcome the King who was coming and is coming still. On the first Sunday of Advent, we remember the prophets. The prophets are people who came so close to God, and God comes so close to them that they know what is most important. The prophets pointed the way to Bethlehem. They didn't know exactly what was going to happen there, but they knew this was the place. O Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, desire of the world, Savior of all peoples, come and dwell among us.
Beloved in Christ, in this season of Advent, let it be our care and delight to prepare our hearts and minds for the mystery of the Incarnation and the coming of our Savior, who was and is to come.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now, in the time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Show us the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. Amen. Please be seated. On a cold winter's day in Mexico in 1531, the Virgin Mary appeared to Juan Diego and asked him to build a church in her honor. Everything about this situation was preposterous, not to say impossible. Juan Diego was a poor indigenous man, a peasant really, and of all the things that astonished him that day, perhaps the most astonishing was that the Mother of God spoke to him in his own native language. Nahuatl was not a language used by the church, nor by the great and powerful. This was, after all, only a decade after the armies of Spain had succeeded in taking his country by force, and indigenous people, people like him, were devastated. They had no leverage against the ways their once proud culture and language were now being dismantled, delegitimized, and destroyed. Perhaps the other most remarkable thing about the way the Virgin appeared to Juan Diego was that she was brown, like him. She did not look like the invaders, the conquerors. She looked like one of his people, like a cousin or a sister even, except that she was clothed with the sun, as dazzling as any queen, as radiant as any angel in heaven. And she wanted him, a poor man, to do her a favor. What could this mean? If you know the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe, you know what happened next. You know that Juan Diego did his best to obey her outrageous request, that he built her, that he build her a church on the hilltop where he walked. You know that the powers that be, the rich and arrogant forces of the church hierarchy, did not believe him and demanded proof. You know that his uncle's illness got in his way and shamed him into trying to avoid seeing that great lady again. And you know that she continued to appear to him, meeting him even in his fear and shame, and continued not only to ask for his assistance, but to call him by name, Juanito, little Juan, and to reassure him, to comfort and encourage him. And when all of his efforts seemed to be failing, Our Lady stepped in, as perhaps only a mother could do. She cured his uncle and gave Juan Diego a sign that even the Archbishop of Mexico could not ignore. She placed miraculous out-of-season flowers on a hilltop for him to gather in his cloak and give to the Archbishop as a sign. And when he opened his cloak and the flowers fell out, what remained emblazoned on the humble fabric was an indelible image of Mary herself, clothed like an Aztec princess, with the sun's rays pouring out from behind her, her hands positioned in a gesture of offering. In her own quietly resplendent way, the humble Virgin had reconquered the land for her people, restoring their faith and fulfilling the prophecy she had proclaimed in the days before the birth of her son. Her appearance to Juan Diego and all that followed demonstrated that it was still possible for God to show the strength of his arm and scatter the proud in their conceit. It was still possible for God to cast down the mighty from their thrones and lift up the lowly. It was still possible for God to fill the hungry with good things and send the rich away empty. All it took was a pregnant, unmarried, brown-skinned girl and her friend, an impoverished, oppressed man named Juan Diego. There's no getting around the fact that the land we call the Americas has suffered through as much violent colonization and rampant extractivism as any place on earth. We must never forget that indigenous peoples here and around the globe have been the victims of greed, racism, and exploitation. And yet we must also remember that domination and conquest are not the whole story. Indigenous peoples continue to live, to thrive, and to reclaim their voices, their stories, and their ways of knowing and being in the world. And if they have one undisputed champion in the church, a church that has its own history of injustice and violence, that champion is Our Lady of Guadalupe. After all, she didn't just love and care for them, which she did, but through Juan Diego, she asked for their help, acknowledging the myriad gifts that they brought into the world. I believe this story is a perfect parable for Advent, as we prepare for the coming of Christ in his most humble appearance as a newborn child. In the collect for the first Sunday of Advent, we ask for God's grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. At the time that Jesus first came to earth, the powers of darkness were doing their best to extinguish the light of peace, hope, faith, and joy. The same was true in 1531, and it is still true today. Our world is engulfed in wars and the rumors of war, in disasters brought about by climate change and the greed and selfishness that lies behind it, and in global economic disparities that may be greater than in any period of history. And yet we still believe that there is an armor of light available to us, that there is a cloak of justice, much like the cloak that Juan Diego wore all those centuries ago, an ordinary thing that became a miracle. We know that when God chooses to reveal God's self or to send an intercessor and mediator like Our Lady, it is almost always to the poorest and least powerful among us. And if that is where God chooses to show up, it is where the church and all Christians must show up as well. Advent is a time for us to mend any broken pieces that have appeared in that cloak over the years, to polish our armor of light until it shines forth for all the world to see. It is a time to welcome the light back in, seeking it out like a lost treasure, and to be awake to all the signs that God is still with us, still among us, still present wherever and whenever we most need him. In the Advent prayers and readings we will share over these next few weeks, there's a sense of longing as well as hope and expectation. Many of us long for times past, for traditions and people no longer with us. We long for the innocence and tenderness that is represented to us in the Christ child, whose coming we await with eager anticipation. And we long for Christ to come again in power and great glory, because we know that there are so many things in this world that are not as they are meant to be. Not yet. As the writer and priest Julia Gatta says, when our dreams coincide with God's, when we are dissatisfied with present violence, when we can imagine the shape of justice, we live in an Advent spirit, no matter the time of year. May these next weeks be an Advent of hope, of longing, and of renewed faith for all God's people. Restore us, O God of hosts. Show us the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. Amen. Please rise as you are able. The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Well, so wonderful to have all of you here today. This is, as you can tell, I'm sure, the first Sunday of Advent, which is the beginning of a new liturgical year. And so we have a lot going on. And to help us get through our announcement highlights, it's Neil Willits, your co-senior warden.
Some things never change. There are always announcements. Clipboards, too, by the way. Several things coming up in the weeks to come. First, a week from today, there's going to be a Spirituality in Nature gathering, which will start at Sycamore Park, up Sycamore Street. Starts at 4:30, I think. No, 4, and will end with evening prayer here. Second, there's a Tuesday course offering at the 8 o'clock service. It was announced as a Wednesday course offering, but the guy announcing that time didn't know what he was talking about. It's the Advent Living Compass series. It's going on for 3 more weeks, and my understanding is that you don't have to have participated in the previous classes for this one to make sense. 2 weeks from today, following the 10 o'clock service, we will be greening the church, so putting up the Christmas decorations in time for the Blue Christmas service, which is that afternoon. And then finally, I want to mention that Mark Allen is having a memorial service. It is on December 18th, which is a Monday at 2 p.m., conveniently located at Christ Church, Lake Oswego, in the Portland, Oregon area. However, It will be live streamed. The information will be circulated about the live stream. If you want to watch it with St. Martin's people, we will be showing the live screen here at the same time as the service. That's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil. I wanted to add one thing that I forgot to put in the announcements. Since Tuesday morning is when we're doing the class on the Living Compass class on wonder, Wednesday morning at 8:30 throughout Advent, it's only 3 weeks, it's a short Advent, I will be offering morning prayer in the narthex. So I'll try to send out a reminder about that. But we tried that a few weeks back on All Saints Day, and it went really well. So I hope some of you will be able to join me for that, 8:30 on Wednesday. I just want to say, I am so thrilled that we were able to offer this Lessons and Carols during church on a Sunday morning, and to have wonderful guest musicians, and to have our own choir just absolutely shine like that. So I think we should give them a round of applause. Do we have any celebrations or milestones that we're marking today? I know there's one birthday that was announced at the 8 o'clock. I'm looking around. No? Oh, wait, someone over there. Reed. Anniversary, what day? I was going to make a joke about putting you on the spot, but you obviously know. An anniversary yesterday. And Marianne? Ernie's birthday is tomorrow. Aww. I won't say a word. So happy birthday. All right. We say together the prayer that is found on the bottom of page 4. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I forgot to say, I know we have some guests and first-time visitors here today. And if you look in the back, our usher with the blue shirt on has little bags. And if you raise your hand, we won't make you talk or introduce yourselves or anything like that, but we would love to give you a welcome bag. So please consider letting us know if you're here for the first time, or if you just really want a welcome bag and you've never had one before. We have two communion stations, and again, especially for people who haven't been here a lot before, know that everyone is welcome to come forward to communion, and we have a station on this side where we intinct the host, and you get both in one, and we have a station on this side where you get the host and the chalice separately, so you get to decide which side you will approach on, and then you go back around the side aisles. Just watch the people in front of you if you're not sure what to do. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
It's pop-up choir time. So any of you who know that also saw the song of misery from last year.
So you're going to follow the congregation. Oh, the congregation is going to follow the recessional out, and then we're going to start the Las Posadas. Now, these people are going to be the people that are going to teach you the part of the song that you're going to sing. You're the outdoor people that are going around knocking on doors. And I have people over here who are the indoor people who are answering the door. When you do this after church, you're going to go to three houses. Do you see on page 11, past page 11 in your bulletin, there's a Las Posadas song. And there's three houses. We're going to only stop at house number 1 and house number 3 in here. We'll do all three of them after church. But for now, we're just trying to teach things. Okay.
Oh,
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, because you sent your beloved Son to redeem us from sin and death and to make us heirs in him of everlasting life, that when he shall come again in power and great triumph to judge the world, we may, without shame or fear, rejoice to behold his appearing. Therefore, joining with angels and archangels and with the faithful of every generation, we lift our voices with all creation as we say, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious God, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and maker of all. Jesus stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Savior Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me. Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Almighty God, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in Christ. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through our Savior, Jesus Christ. By Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Alleluia! Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of Christ and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. May Almighty God, by whose providence our Savior Christ came among us in great humility, sanctify you with the light of his blessing and set you free from all sin.
Amen.
May he whose second coming in power and great glory we await make you steadfast in faith, joyful in hope, and constant in love.
Amen.
May you who rejoice in the first advent of our Redeemer, at his second advent be rewarded with unending life.
Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And remember, this is when we follow our choir out to Las Posadas.
Welcome to Las Posadas, a traditional Latin American celebration commemorating the journey that Joseph and Mary took from Nazareth to Bethlehem while looking for shelter and somewhere for Jesus to be born. Our journey begins in the front of the narthex, right here where we are, where we'll go to Casa Número Uno, the house number one. We'll meet with the innkeepers of the house and have a sung conversation with them in Spanish. Those outside are welcome to join members of the choir in singing the first part of the music, noted as afuera, or outside, which represents Joseph. The posaderos, or innkeepers, will sing back the next part. So inside there will be some people, and outside will be the rest of us, searching for somewhere to stay. We'll continue in a procession around the grounds to Casa Número Dos, at the back of the church, so we'll walk down that way, and there's a door back there, and sing the next verses. And lastly, we'll proceed around the lawn over to the parish hall, where we will sing the section Casa Número Tres and finish our procession in song. If you prefer not to walk, you can wait for us at the parish hall. That's where we'll be having a fiesta. There will be treats and drinks available in the parish hall, which you're welcome to eat inside or outside. We will finish the evening with caroling, or with the day with caroling. If you're reading music, if reading the music, the actual notes of the music is not for you, then there's a text only Spanish version provided on pages 14 to 15, and the English translation of the song is there also for your reference.
Try another door.